After choosing his 12 apostles, Jesus teaches a crowd of followers about the nature and demands of discipleship. He begins his great sermon with surprising statements about who is truly blessed in the eyes of God. The Holy Gospel for the sixth Sunday after Epiphany is recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, the sixth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. One advantage of being here at Trinity is that it's just a couple of blocks down 4th Street to a really great bakery. Now, I can't tell you the name of the bakery because I don't want to promote them, but like I said, it's winter, it's getting old, I need some comfort. And so it's fun to go down there once in a while and just go in and look. Their baked items are like works of art. And they're all just calling you. The problem is most of them cost $4.50 for just one. So you can't really get a tray of them to take home. And so you'll stand there and you'll ponder a bit and then you'll point at one and get it. It's easy to make that kind of choice. Everything looks so good, you can't go wrong. And so I like choices like that, where it doesn't matter which one, everything's great. Wouldn't it be nice if life was like that? There's a lot of choices in life that aren't easy. Sometimes it's just a simple thing of, what do I want to do with my life? What should I major in? Should I have that surgery? They tell me it's risky. A lot of choices are tough to make, but we have to make them anyway. So how do we learn in life as we begin to grow, how to make choices? Especially, how do we learn how to make good choices? Well, maybe when you're little, you can watch some programs that help you with that, or read some books that help you with that, or listen to people who give you advice about things like that. When my daughter was little, she loved Blue's Clues. She couldn't wait for Blue's Clues to come on. Steve would always talk about making good choices. It was part of the program. My daughter loved it. She also liked Dora the Explorer. Now, Dora had a little backpack, and every episode she was going on an adventure.
And along the way, she would be confronted by things, and she'd have to make a choice. And so she'd think about it and ponder a bit, and she would make a good choice. It was a program that helped my daughter, I think, make good choices. Also, she liked Little Bear, a series based on books by Maurice Sendak. They were wonderful with object lessons and ways to affirm other people and give you skills for life. But today I'd like to go back in time a bit. When I was a kid, we had Captain Kangaroo. Now, I really liked Captain Kangaroo. Of course, it was in black and white, and there weren't any special effects, but it was a good show, and I liked Mr. Green Jeans. He was a good guy. But then, thinking more, now I'm really going to confess to you, because we got to go even back farther in time. The first program that I really got into was Romper Room. I loved Romper Room. Romper Room had in every episode a family of bees. There were two big bees and two little bees. And the two big bees helped the two little bees make good choices as they were starting to grow and see the world. And at the end of every episode, there was that closing line. Do be a doobie. Don't be a don't be. Do be a doobie. Don't be a don't be. And so that was something I carried with me. Because I wanted to be a doobie. I didn't want to be a don't be. What do we do with that today? Well, I think today in our gospel lesson, that do be and don't be has been reframed a bit into blessings and woes. I think the do-bees are the ones that are getting blessed, and then the don't-bees are the ones that are getting the woes. But that's not right. Jesus is doing something here. Let's take our gospel apart a little bit. I like how it begins. At the very beginning of our text today, it says, Jesus comes down with his disciples to a level place. And in that level place are the rest of his disciples or followers, and then the multitude, the crowd that's there. Everybody is on the same plane. Jesus comes down to them. And then the next interesting thing happens. After they've come down, it says, then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor now. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who are weeping now. That's interesting. As Jesus looks up at these people, he sees that they're what? They're down. He looks up at the people who are down. Why? Because they're poor, they're hungry, they're weeping. And what does Jesus do? He builds them up by saying, you're blessed. You get a blessing. Because you're struggling with life right now. Then something else happens. He looks at the ones that are up in the world, the people who are rich, the people who are full, the people who can laugh at life, the people that have it made, the people that I thought were the doobies. He looks at them and says, I can't do anything for you. But he gives them a word. He gives them a word, woe are you when you are that way. Because you have puffed yourself up where you don't need me anymore. And so you're detached from me. You're no longer rooted in me. And for that, Jesus feels sad. Woe to you who have no need of me, who aren't rooted in me, who can't see that life is a struggle. That to me is kind of the heart of our gospel today. When Jesus comes down to where we are, he looks up at us and says, you know, life is hard. There's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of things that aren't right. There's a lot of pain. Yesterday, we had a funeral here for Michael Elliott Hansen, who we knew as Mike, our congregation's president. It was a tough day. I've struggled with it all week. Pastor Mark has struggled with it all week. You have struggled with it all week. Life is hard. We don't have all the answers. But today what we need to remember is that we are still rooted, we are still connected. And in our struggling, in our suffering, we are blessed and we are looked up to. Because Jesus wants to lift you and I up. But today we're also kind of given a warning. We have to be careful that we don't get too rich, too full, or that we look at life as a big joke. Because then we've created our own God. And in so doing, we've lost Christ. And so today, in these days of winter that keep going on, if you need some comfort, go down to that bakery or to the bakery you love. And if you don't want to buy anything, just look at the stuff. Feel a little better. But above all, know that you're loved and that you have, and I have, a God in Christ who always comes down to where we are and lifts us up and blesses us. Thanks be to God. Amen.